Grab your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13, please. If you find it quick, simply turn to your neighbor, and if it's appropriate to, tell them I love you. Tell them they're happy to be in church with you. Do something that acknowledges the people around you this morning. Romans chapter 13, as you're looking for it, we're going to begin in verse 8. Pastor is in Idaho. He is at our church in Grangeville as they go through a transition there. And so, as Penny did, we agree and we pray for traveling safety for him and strength for the day, as Penny also prayed. Penny, by the way, thank you for leading us in prayer this morning. I appreciate that. And so, Mom is here. It's always nice to have Mom in service when Dad is away. And most of the time, she gives a really good report, but she's not a liar, so she tells it like it is. Mom, I love you, and it's good to have you in church today. Always is. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. If you're there, say yeah. Perfect. Would you stand with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord together? I do, before we read the scripture together, I need to give a congratulations. And my dear friend Josh Jimenez, has completed his service to our country in the Marine Corps and is now officially out and a veteran. And so, Josh, I want to thank you for your service, and thank you very much. We appreciate that. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says this: Let no debt remain outstanding except... Say that with me. Except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful to be together today. We have worshiped with one another, and we have encouraged each other. We have given in the offering as act of our worship also. And now, God, we purpose in our mind and in our heart to learn something from the Word of God today. We ask in that vein that you would speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, would you please speak to us in a way that we can hear? And as you speak, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you are saying. As we hear that word, God, I ask that you would give us a mind to comprehend it and to understand it. And as we comprehend and as we understand, my prayer is that that word seeps into the deepest part of who we are. And as it does that, I pray that it would land in good soil in our life so that the word of God may take root and that it would grow and that it would produce life in our lives and life in the lives of those around us. Finally, this morning, Jesus, I pray that you would make us courageous people. Give us the courage to do what you've asked us to do, and give us the courage to be who you've asked us to be. Thank you again for the Spirit of God in this house today and for all the people that are here this morning. In Jesus' name, if you can receive that, say amen to that this morning. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you very much. I want to take some time to share a message with you today entitled Love Where You Live. This is part 3, and today we're going to focus on this part, loving your circle of influence. I'm not sure where you're at on the spectrum of influence. I'm not sure if you believe you have some or you believe you don't have any. I don't know where you would place yourself on that spectrum. I hope to speak to that a little bit this morning. But we are going to bring our focus in love where you live. We're going to bring our focus down to loving your circle of influence. Pastor kicked off this series when he talked about loving where you live and illustrated that with the idea of serving. As Jesus served the disciples by washing their feet and serving them, he taught us the importance of serving one another. Sharina preached last week, and she used in part the story of the Good Samaritan, and one of the phrases I really appreciated about that was that Jesus was calling us to love our neighbor, but also to be a neighbor, to be a neighbor to someone, and she talked about loving where you live, and as it compared to Jesus' teaching that everybody that we come into contact with is our neighbor. Today we're gonna look at the word influence. We're gonna talk about that word a little bit and how that relates to loving where we live, loving your circle of influence.
To help us get there, I want to take us to the rest of Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read our text again and read all the way through verse 14. Now, I will give you some warning on this passage. This passage mentions a couple words that we're not always real comfortable saying in church. This passage mentions a couple things that might make us go, oh, Eddie just said that. He said that out loud with a microphone that's being recorded on this service. But we're going to read it straight from the Word of God because it applies to where we live today. And so, Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Going on, it says, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not do harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul's saying to the Romans at this point in his writing, he's saying, listen, all of those other laws that you've heard, don't sleep with another man's wife. Don't murder somebody. Don't steal from anybody. All of that stuff can be wrapped up into one single law. And that one single law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is speaking with a little bit of intensity here. And he goes on in verse 11 to say this. And he says, and do this. This refers to loving your neighbor. He says, and do this understanding the present time. So Paul takes us through a whole series of events, and he wraps up the commandments with the commandment that says, love one another. And he says, it's important that you do this because you need to understand the day that you live in. The Roman world at that time, the Christians lived in a crazy, crazy state. The Roman government was doing crazy things, making crazy decisions. The Caesars were making crazy laws. They were behaving in ways that were absolutely crazy. The politicians were making crazy decisions and behaving in crazy ways. The marketplace was in a sense of craze and turmoil, and everything seemed to be crazy. And Paul says, I'm telling you something. The command to love your neighbor in the context with which you live, love will speak louder than the crazy. I'm telling you, I could have been reading from today's latest newscast. Our government is doing crazy things on both sides of the aisle. Our politicians, red, blue, green, white, yellow, it doesn't matter what their platform calls out. They're making terrible decisions. They're doing crazy things. Our economy is crazy. Things that are happening in our culture, they're crazy. But the same words that Paul spoke to the Romans are applicable to us today. And what are those words? The words of Paul were, God's love speaks louder than the crazy. And let me tell you, today it's still true. God's love still speaks louder than the crazy. God's love still speaks louder than a crazy politician or a crazy government or a crazy community action or activity. God's love still speaks louder than the crazy. And we are ambassadors of that love, which means we can also speak louder than the crazy. Not by our might, just as the song says, not by our power, but by the Spirit of God. I want you to know today that your influence matters. Your voice matters. Your voice that stands against the crazy matters. The way you love matters. How you love matters. The fact that you do love the way God loves. It all matters, and it all speaks louder than the crazy. Paul goes on to say this in verse 12, or in verse 11. He says, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And then he gives us this admonition. He says, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Love your neighbor as yourself. The love will speak louder than the crazy. It may go without saying, but if we are going to love our neighbor, if we are going to love the people in our circle of influence, we have to believe first that we have influence. It's my position this morning that, generally speaking, we do not give ourselves enough credit when it comes to influence. We sell ourselves short when we consider the reach and the impact of our influence. If we ignore our influence, we give ourselves permission to limit our responsibility. Let me say that again. If we ignore our influence, we limit our responsibility. If we limit our responsibility, we give ourselves permission to limit our effort. If we limit our effort, then we give ourselves permission to just stop trying altogether. And can I just say, that is a miserable approach to life. There is no life in that at all. That is a miserable approach to life. But, if we acknowledge that we have influence, and we don't classify it as little or great, we just acknowledge the fact that God has given us influence. If we acknowledge our influence, then we give ourselves permission to recognize our responsibility. When we have been given permission to recognize our responsibility, then we give ourselves permission to increase our effort. And when we increase our effort, the possibilities are endless. And may I just say, this is a much better approach to life. Somebody get with me and say amen. Okay, not like you meant it, but I'll take it. Just kidding. We need to recognize that we have been given influence. John Maxwell, the renowned author and teacher on leadership, says this of what he calls, quote unquote, the law of influence. He says this: if you don't have influence, you will never be able to lead others. If you don't have influence, you will never be able to lead others. We do well to remind ourselves that if we have committed our life to Jesus Christ, and if we call ourselves a Christ follower, a Christian, a believer, whatever title we choose to put on that decision to follow Jesus, we are required to lead. We are required not just to talk of Jesus, but to lead people to Jesus. The Great Commission tells us to make disciples, or in other words, lead people to Jesus. And we cannot lead people to Jesus if we don't have influence or recognize the influence that God has given us. And here's the kicker. We all have influence. In case you were wondering, in case you were baffled, in case you were trying to pick up on where you're at on the spectrum, I'm telling you, you're on the spectrum. You have influence in the world that God has called you to live. Otherwise, you would not be here. You would not have a voice. You would not be present. If God did not intend for you to change the part of the world that He has called you to, then you would not be here. You have influence. How we choose to use it is entirely up to us. So, loving our circle. Let's focus now a little bit more on this word called influence. Influence, in my mind, is like a bullseye. How many of you have seen a bullseye? Okay? Some of us. Makes me question some of you and the life you live. I think we all
know what a bullseye looked? It was a stupid question to ask in the first place. So you have the bullseye, right? Sometimes it's red, sometimes it's black, sometimes it's a pretty pink color, whatever. And you've got the bullseye. And you aim for the bullseye. And if you're like me, you miss the bullseye. Your daughter takes the gun and then she hits the bullseye and makes you feel this big. But anyway, we have this bullseye. And the bullseye is there. And there's consecutive rings that get consistently bigger and larger away from the bullseye. Your influence is just like that bullseye. You have a very intimate circle that you are connected with, which is that colored dot in the middle. That's the bullseye. That's the people you're most closely associated with, who maybe you spend the most time with. But every ring outside of that bullseye represents the scope of your influence. Because everybody that you come into contact with is subject to your influence. They pick up something from you. And they take it with them wherever they might go. And so your influence potentially has the ability to exponentially grow. It's important to understand the varying degrees of our influence, because influence is all about connection. Influence is all about relationship. Influence is all about being willing to connect with people. Influence is about, as they say, quote unquote, being willing to do life with people. There's a problem with this. And you know what the problem is? The problem is, since influence is all about connection, since influence is all about doing life with people, the problem is life is messy, which means influence is messy. And influence is frustrating. And influence can be hurtful, because life is messy and life is frustrating and life at times can be hurtful. But you know what it also means? It also means that influence is victorious. It means that influence is exciting and joyful and rewarding. Because let's be honest, life is not terrible. Life is not always bad. There are moments in life, far more than we want to recognize, where life is exciting and life is joyful and life is victorious. In the midst of all the other stuff, life is still worth living. And so influence is just the same. Influence can be exciting. Influence can be joyful. Influence can be victorious. And we were called to influence because we were called to be connected to people and to be connected to people's lives. Paul tells us, I want you to be in debt. Great advice, isn't it? We're getting ready to run some Dave Ramsey financial peace stuff around here. I guarantee you Dave Ramsey will not say that. Paul says, I want you to be in debt. But you know what he says first? We know the context of that because we read it in verse 8. He said, there's one debt that I want you to have, and it's called the debt of love. It's interesting, though, what Paul leads into verse 8 with. Let's take a peek at it. If we go to chapter 13, we're just going to bump up to verse 6. I encourage you to read chapter 13 on your own time sometime today or this week. It really is a great, great chapter. And ask God to speak to you about it as you chew on this for the rest of the week. But chapter 13, verse 6 says, this is also why you pay taxes. Paul's talking about submission to authorities, submission to government, submission to the laws of culture and the laws of society. And so Paul says, this is why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then pay revenue. If it's respect, then pay respect. If it's honor, then honor. Paul says, and then he goes into verse 8 and says, let no debt remain outstanding. Paul speaks just like Dave Ramsey speaks. It's weird, isn't it? Paul says, pay your debts. If you have a tax bill, pay the tax bill. If you've got a loan payment, pay your loan payment. If you've got a credit card bill, pay your credit card bill. If you got a PUD bill, pay the PUD bill. And on it goes. If your payment is to honor or respect or to serve, then I want you to honor, respect, or serve. And then he comes to love and he says, but when it comes to love, I pray that there would always be an outstanding debt when it comes to love. What does that even mean?
Let me illustrate it this way. Every month, I get the PUD bill. And the PUD tells me what I owe PUD to keep the PUD stuff on, right? And I pay it. Thank Jesus. I pay it. And it's done. And it's paid. And I don't worry about it till the next month. And I have a natural gas bill. And I have a mortgage. And other bills like you. And they come in and you pay them, praise Jesus, and they go. Imagine if that's how we treated love. Love you. Bernie, love you so much. I do. Thank love you. Your wife more. But I love you.
I know.
And good. All right. Perfect. Paid in full. Done loving. That one's just done. Don't have to worry about him for the next month. Whew, praise Jesus. Right? Penny, I love you. Love what you do. Love all of that. Yeah, I've said that. Good. Paid in full. She's done. Done. I don't have to worry about Penny anymore because I paid my bill. Tevin? Never mind. Tevin, I love you. Ashley, I love you. And I love your marriage and I love your life and all of that. And let me get my paid in full stamp. Paid. There we go. Don't have to worry about them anymore. You follow me, right? Imagine if we approach love the same way we approach our PUD bill. And Paul says, pay your debts off. Pay your responsibilities. When it comes to love, I hope there is never, ever, ever a moment in your life where your love to another person says, paid in full, I'm done, I don't have to worry about you anymore. Rather, it says, Shireen, I know you're my sister and you're a pain in my neck, but I love you. And I'm not going to stamp you paid in full. I'm going to love you because Jesus says to love you, and I really do love you. And my hope is that I will love you more tomorrow than I do today because I always want there to be this urge to pay the debt of love to my sister. Micah, I love you. And I love you more today than I did yesterday by the grace of God. And I never want our relationship to be one where I just stamp you paid in full. I see you on Sunday, shake your hand. I point at you like I always do, and then I forget about you. I hope that I love you more tomorrow than I did today, because why? Why do we do this? Why does Paul say, let the debt of love be outstanding? Well, because that's the way Jesus loves you. That's the way Jesus loves me. The one thing he stamped one time paid in full was the debt he paid on the cross, where he said, it is finished. And you have opportunity to come into relationship with me, and I will love you more. I will love you to the end of your days. It's not a matter of more or less. I will love you every single day for the rest of my life because I'm committed to you. I will love you today. I loved you yesterday. I will love you tomorrow, no matter what. And Paul says that is the kind of love that your neighbor deserves from you. That is the kind of love that your coworker deserves from you. That is the kind of love that everybody that you come into contact with deserves of you, a love that is not just a rubber stamp, paid in full, I've done my duty, but a love that comes from the core of my heart that says, Jesus has done something in me, and I know he loves me so great, and I can't help but love you like Jesus loves me, because that is what he's called me to do. The problem is, he's called us to love our neighbor. He's called us to love our neighbor living in adultery. He's called us to love our neighbor who is gay. He's called us to love our neighbor who is bisexual or identifies as a man when he is a woman. He calls us to love our neighbor who cheats on their taxes and brags about it. He calls us to love our neighbor who is in prison. He calls us to love our neighbor who's in and out of jail constantly. He calls us to love our neighbor who is an alcoholic and a drug addict. He calls us to love our neighbor who's addicted to porn. He calls us to love our neighbor who is in the mess of life. He calls us to love our neighbor who has mental illness and anxiety. He calls us to love our neighbor who is walking through some of life's most difficult moments and most difficult things. He calls us to love our neighbor. No excuses. Because that is exactly
what he does. Exactly what he does. And so what it means to love where you live in terms of influence, we understand that we are in debt to love. And our love for others should never, ever be a rubber stamp duty that we walk away from, but it is something that pours out of us because we realize that we are no better than anybody else, and it is the grace of God that sustains us. And it is the grace of God that empowers us. We love our neighbor because we are somebody else's neighbor wrapped up in a bunch of messy garbage too. The most recent time I heard it was at our prayer meeting on Wednesday when Penny said, "The ground at Calvary is absolutely level. There is nobody better or worse than anybody when it comes to the feet of Jesus." Your influence matters because you are an ambassador of God and His love. How amazing is that? How do we do this? How do we love our circle of influence? How do we love those who are around us? I have three things this morning, not because they're more important than any others, but when you are taught to preach, you're taught to have 3 points and you do things in threes. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, 3 points, it just works. I chose three this morning because they're important to me and they are a result of things I've learned in my life. The first one I want to share with you, how do we love people in our personal circle of influence? We love through generosity. Proverbs 3:27 through 29 says these words, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you have it in your possession today. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you." Proverbs teaches us that we are to be generous people. We are blessed to bless. And let me just say this when it comes to that. Generosity has nothing to do with how little or how much you have. Generosity has nothing to do with how little or how much you have. And I have said this statement. In a moment, I'm going to ask for a response. So I want some courageous people to be ready to respond. Okay? I have said this statement. I wish I had more so that I could give more and be more generous. Anybody ever said that? Want to raise your hand with me and say, yeah, I've said that before? Okay, let me tell you why that was the wrong statement for me to say. And the size of the 2x4 that hit me upside the face when God convicted me about that statement. Generosity has nothing to do with how much or how little I have. Generosity has nothing to do with how much or how little you have. Generosity is a mindset. Generosity is a choice. Generosity is a heart issue. And I've discovered in my own life that if I am not willing to be generous with a little bit, I will not be generous with a lot bit. If I'm not willing to be generous with the little bit that God has put in my hand, I will never be generous with the greater things that God places in my hand. It goes something like this. Story from Eddie's life. Barista in a coffee shop that I know, single mom. I sure wish that I could give her $100 at Christmas time to be able to buy Christmas presents for her child, but I don't have $100 to give. I have 10. I'll just buy coffee instead. Oh, that is brutal. Right? But for some reason, I thought that the amount mattered. And God did something in my heart. And said, "What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? If you want to be generous, you be generous with what I've given you. You are blessed to bless, no matter how much or how little that is." That was very recent. I'm praying I can bless that barista with $100 at Christmas time. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm praying for it. But if I only have 10 or 20, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to live this out as best I can because I want generosity to be a mindset and a lifestyle, not something I hope for when I have more. Yeah. We can love where we live through generosity. The next thing we can do, number two, we can love through action. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 speaks beautifully to this. Our community service project speaks beautifully to this, that now is the time. Paul said in Romans, awake from your slumber. Now is the time to be active in our faith, because the world needs to see us being active in our faith. Why in the world did you do that? Because we love Jesus and we love people. Why in the world do you ship boxes all across the globe to kids you will never meet? Because we love Jesus and we love people. Why in the world did you bless the barista with 10 bucks? Because we love God and we love people. Why in the world did you tip a little more because you heard something and the server had a need and you knew that you can meet it? Because we love Jesus and because we love people. Why in the world do you adopt a Christmas family at this time? Because we love Jesus and we love people. Why in the world do you go and visit the people that are shut in? Why in the world do you take your neighbor a gift? Why in the world do you just give the clerk at the register a quick hug after you've asked them, because you know what they're going through? Because we love Jesus and we love people, and we're people of action. That is how we love where we live, and we recognize our influence matters. We love God and we love people. We're not afraid to act those things out. Number three, we love through prayer. Paul would say in his gospel in Philippians, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Paul was confident of the fact that God is doing something in people's lives. Our prayers and our influence matter. How many of you have ever prayed for someone in your life? Okay. I want to take a couple minutes to make this point. It's 12 o'clock. If you have lunch plans, I'm really sorry, you're going to be late. No. I'm not going to take too much time, but I want to talk about prayer real quick, and then I'll close. How many of you have ever prayed for someone and want to respond? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you have ever prayed for your spouse? Anybody? How many of you ever prayed for your kids? How many of you ever prayed for your neighbor's kids? They're paying the neck. Okay? I know they're rhetorical questions. How many of you prayed for family members? Outside of, yeah. How many of you have ever prayed like this? Again, personal stories from my life. Praying for my wife. God, please change her. How many husbands ever pray that for their wife? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to die in this moment. And wives, I'm convinced wives have prayed this for their husband. Maybe you haven't. Colleen's shaking her head. No, that's because she's wise way beyond my years. But maybe we prayed. God, change my husband. Change my son. Change my neighbor's kids. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I will confess, I prayed prayers like that when I was younger, and God taught me a lesson. When I pray that way, I'm praying for my best version of you. I pray for Tevin. God, just change him. Change him to fit my model of what I think Tevin should be. I'm praying for my version of Tevin in this world. I could not be further off the mark in praying for my version of my spouse, my version of my kids, my version of my family, my version of my community, my version of the president, my version of the politician, my version of my neighbor, my version of whoever. And God had to take me through a course where he was correcting me to say, listen, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we ought to be praying is for God's best version of you to come to fruition. God, do what you need to do in their life and help me to see how I can come alongside them and help. God, do in Josh something that he cannot deny, and let that be the best version that you have designed him to be, and allow me to come alongside that and to build that up and to strengthen those arms and to speak life into what you have planned for Josh, not what I have planned for Josh. We can love through prayer. Lord, not my will, but your will. God, not my plan, but your plan. God, not my provision, but your provision. How beautiful of a thing to think that we are able to pray the will of the eternal God onto the lives of our family members and our communities, our state, our nation, our world. We can love through prayer. The last thing I want to do today, those were our three things that I think are very, very important. I want to close with a benediction today out of Philippians chapter 2. You can turn there if you want, but I do believe it'll be on the screen. Love where you live. Loving those in our personal circle of influence. Your influence matters. What God has called you to do matters. You matter. The people you rub shoulders with every single day. They need you and they matter. Let's do what we can to love where we live and to accept the influence that God alone has given. Amen. I've kept you a little longer today, and I'm thankful for your grace. Stand with me this morning as we close. Philippians chapter 2. Paul says this to the Philippians, and his message reverberates to us today. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus, we love you and we're thankful for you today. Thank you that you've given us influence and the courage to see that work out in every area of our life. Thank you for a great day in your house. I pray that you would bless us and give us the ability to do what you've called us to do, to be the people you've asked us to be. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen with me this morning? Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming to church today. I'm really glad you did. I love you lots. I invite you to say hi to someone on the way out, handshake or high five, whatever that looks like. You're dismissed this morning. Thanks for being here today. If not sooner, we look forward to seeing you here next week. Have a blessed afternoon. Have a great Sunday.